If you spend a lot of time on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, you'll realize there's always a lot of changes. And they just announced a change last week that people are all fired up, about. Here it is.
Facebook and Instagram may follow Twitter's lead and now charge users for a verified account. Mark Zuckerberg announced Meta Verified on his social media accounts today. It will cost $12 a month on the web or $15 a month on Apple and Android operating systems to get one of those verified accounts.
I don't know. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, like, I feel like there's been a lot of changes to social media. And for somebody like me that's trying to be an influencer and try to do a lot of posting and to create a brand, it's really confusing. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, companies got to get paid, too. That's the thing. I mean, just because it felt like they were giving it away for free forever, sooner or later, you knew they were going to monetize it.
Oh, I want to know that I've been rejected for a verified checkmark at least 7-8 times. They're just like, nope, you're not Anna Zapp. I'm like, all right, I guess. I guess I'm not.
Not big enough yet.
No.
Working on it.
All right. So if you could change one thing about social media, what would it be? What would be your dream? Sean, you're first.
You know what? My dream about social media in general would be for them to do something about like the bots or the spam accounts that you get that'll like message you or add you as a friend. The second they add you, it's always them messaging you going, hey, how are you? You know, they're trying to like sell you on a scam or something.
Right.
I'm sick of it. I get like one or two of those a day. I want to change that. We need to like put some sort of security in place or just stop that from happening.
Yeah, but what's cool about that is that sometimes they add to your follower count, and that's kind of awesome.
Yeah. You know what happens, though? Then they randomly unfollow you.
Right.
And then it's just hurting your account, and you're like, you don't even know why. You're trying to figure out who unfollowed you, and then you're like, Mom, was it you? Did you unfollow me? And then you got to go to like all your people that you like, you love, and make sure that they're still there.
Isn't that a thing? They're trying to get rid of the bots now, right? Like, I mean, all that spam stuff, right? Isn't that what they say anyway?
It's a forever battle.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
John, what would you change about social media? One thing.
I would get rid of stories. It's the most annoying thing in the entire world because like you, Anna, I'm trying to boost my social media presence, right? And I get the posts. I get the reels. I get like there's one solid project that you gotta put that up. But stories, my God, it's constant maintenance. You gotta continually update the story. And sometimes I get on a real roll with it. Other times, just feels like busy work. I hate them.
It all goes hand in hand. I feel like I'm getting burnt out from it because you constantly have to do it. You know, it's like,
exactly.
And it's like, do people really care that I'm doing this right now? Like, I'm just sitting at school pickup. There is nothing interesting about this whatsoever. But they would argue, yes,
right.
Put it on your story. Look right. At me. Here's me trying to stay awake at school pickup. Yay. Raven, what would you change? And don't say everything. You just want it to go away because I know that's what you're thinking.
Well, I think like, you know, ads in general, but deep fake videos, man. Like these things fool me like crazy. Listen, I'm here for the Arnold Schwarzenegger funny video, all right, where you put his face on everybody else's face and he does your favorite part from a movie or whatever. But other than that, like, it's confusing to me. I'm not savvy enough to know what's real and what isn't real when I was looking at it. I thought the worst was going to be like when they had sharks, you know, swimming up a flooded street supposedly after a hurricane or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, the internet's faking me left and right.
I want somebody to explain to me, like, I want a detailed email from Instagram or TikTok to tell me why one of my videos will get 1.1 million views and another one that I spent an entire afternoon creating gets 546 views. Mm. Like, I would love for somebody to explain to me why. Like, what did I do wrong? And what did I do right here? And what did I do wrong? And so I don't make the same mistakes again. I think we could all keep dreaming. Switch to Cricket for fast and powerful nationwide 5G on all plans. Smile, you're on Cricket. This story has been trending over the last few days. A woman known as Grandma in Washington, D.C., she was almost carjacked on her way to chemotherapy, but she fought off the teenager. Here she is talking about it.
He pushed me to the door, and I got up, and I grabbed him and was hitting him and fighting him. And I said, you're not going to take my car, youngin'. And they all came out to help me, and he ran across the street, and that's when they caught him. And I said, oh, you going to jail today. On 22nd Street, he must didn't know where he was.
You know something? You know who I feel bad for? Cancer. Because grandma's gonna crush it.
Yeah, Graham.
Everybody had, you know, listen, I had a grandmother like this. I hope you had a grandmother like this. I mean, people know grandmothers like this. Don't mess with her. He didn't know where he was, Anna.
15 years old. He's gonna learn the hard way.
That's right.
For sure.
Learn your history, buddy.
But I was thinking about this grandma getting carjacked, and then I remember the time not too long ago when producer John's car got stolen, and when the cops found it, it was a little old lady driving it.
It was, in fact, you know what? That's right. Oh, my gosh. That's a good point.
You know, I think that this was a different situation, though. It was the grandson snagged the car and then gave it to his grandmother. Look, Grandma, I'm out there doing well in the world.
I mean, you know what? We can hypothesize all day, but we don't know that, Raven. There were no definitive answers ever given in this case.
What if the grandma, like, tried to play it off? So, John, recap. What happened when your car got stolen?
All right. So, over the weekend, I went to a music festival that was near my house. So, I didn't drive the car all week. I go Monday morning to come here, come to work, and the car is gone. The next day, they find my car. And it's being driven around by some little old lady.
I want you to imagine, all right, John, that the cops didn't actually find your car. Mm. But you see it. You spot it in your neighborhood, right? And in the driver's seat is this little old lady, this grandma. You go to confront her. How many hits to the face does it take before you give up and just say, you know what, keep it?
I mean, listen, if it's a little old lady in my neighborhood, maybe. If it's this little old lady in particular, she's got the car. That's hers
it's
now.
Hers.
I give up.
Did they ever find out more of the police? Because she said it was like her grandson gave it her. There's a whole lot of backstory, but did they ever, anything else ever come from it?
I mean, you guys know where I live. I live in the middle of the city. These guys have other things going on. I asked questions. And I got, maybe call back another time. And I took that to mean, dude, we're never going to go into this.
I mean, they just let an elderly woman steal your car. And we're like, listen, you got it back. What more do you want from us?
There is no car theft investigation. That is a thing you see in the movies.
Right.
That is not a real thing anymore.
Oh, you going to jail today. On 22nd Street, he must didn't know where he was.
If only she'd start a company.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? 1-800-330-9999. Get it off your chest. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you.
David, you're first. What's going on?
Yeah, if you're the friend that's out at the bar and always demanding one more drink, because you don't want the night to end, that's all I need to know about you.
Everybody has this friend.
Oh, yeah.
The one more drink friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have one more with me. I'm buying. Have one more with me. Or they want to go one more place before it's closing time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're done with this place. You left. Maybe you even go get a bite to eat. And they're like, let's go have one more. Let's go have one more. And you're like, no, I can just go home and go to bed.
I used to be that person.
Yeah?
I did. And then I grew up. And now and now I would like for all my nights to end promptly at 9 p.m., which is very sad. If you ever see me out past 9, know that I had been working on that for days, napping and preparing myself.
Julia, that's all I need to know about you.
If you are relentlessly trying to get with a guy who has put you in the friend zone 6 times, that's all I need to know about you.
Sometimes you just don't give up. What happened? You have a friend?
Yes. Like, it's getting embarrassing at this point. Like, 6 times he has had a conversation with her and she will not let up.
Sometimes people just have an infatuation, right? And they can't see it. They think that they're gonna get this, right? They're gonna figure out how to make it work because they feel so strongly at that moment. But sometimes that infatuation, when it first approaches somebody else, it's a big turnoff.
Yeah.
Right? It just feels like somebody's speeding along. You're not there at the same time, and timing is everything.
You don't realize it sometimes until later. Like, I think back to college, and I'm like, God, like, what? Why was I so persistent on that loser?
Yeah.
You know, like, I should have known after the first 2 times, like, no.
Right.
You know? But you don't see it when you're in it.
Right. When you're really, really into somebody, you convince yourself that, wait a minute, we can work this out.
Yep. Frank, that's all I need to know about you.
If you were the guy that says time to get a watch when I ask what time it is, that's all I need to know about you.
That's dad jokes right there.
But annoying. If you really need the time, right?
I said that to my daughter one time. She's going to be 14, and she did not understand.
Right.
She was like, I have my phone. I just don't know where my phone is right now. Just tell me what time it is. And I was like, all right, never mind.
There was a time when everybody had a watch.
Yeah.
Right. It was one of the first things you would purchase.
She looked at me like, what?
She's like, I may never own a watch in my life.
She's like, my iWatch?
Right. Right. That's the only watch.
She's like, it's in my room. Like, just tell me what time it is, Mom. You know?
Right. Hey, Sandra, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you, like, don't work for my company or know nothing about my job and you're, like, constantly telling me how to do my job, that is all I need to know about you.
That's so funny.
The armchair expert.
Like, oh, my God, yeah. My mom is, like, a case in point. Like, I just want to, like, throttle her sometimes. Love her, but stop talking about my work, okay, Mama?
I like when my husband will send me, like, a story, and it'll be from, like, 6 days ago. He'll be like, you better talk about this tomorrow. Everybody's talking about it. I'm like, babe, like, first of all, you clearly don't even listen to the show because we did this a week ago. And two, like, thanks. Thanks for telling me exactly what I should be doing on my show with your finance degree. I appreciate it.
Yes, you hear me.
Switch to Cricket for fast and powerful nationwide 5G on all plans. Smile, you're on Cricket. This stat blew my mind as I'm getting ready to put my house on the market and move. After the age of 18, a person can expect to move another 9.1 times in their remaining lifetime. Nine times after you turn 18? I've moved 5 times in my entire life, and 3 times were after college. That's it. The fact that I have to do this next move, I say to my husband all the time, this is our last move. Once I move, we are never moving again. So pick the right house because this is where I will live for the rest of my life.
Well, I think that probably the fact that you have less moves is tied inherently to the fact that you're married, right? And you met Paul in college and you guys, you know, got together and then you cohabitated after that. I think a lot of times some of those moves are attributed to you get into a relationship and then you break up with somebody, right? And then you have to move.
Yeah. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, I started thinking about it. I'm like, some people move a lot. Like my parents are movers because my dad went through this period where he flipped houses. So they would buy a house. My poor husband, I swear, my dad loves him because he's strong, because he would be able to carry all the moving boxes so often. They must have moved 100 times. But how many times have you moved in your lifetime? Is it more or less than this 9.1 times on average? Sean?
Less. 7 times.
7 times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just 7.
Wow.
Are you going to move again anytime soon?
Probably. At least within the next 2 or 3 years, I will.
Okay. That makes sense to me. John?
I've got this stat absolutely crushed. I've already moved 17 times in my life.
17 times?
Yeah. Easily. I mean, you know, between states a couple of times. But yeah, I mean, no, 17 different addresses I have called home at a certain point in my life.
What happens when they pull up your social security? Like, you know, like sometimes it's like 100 different addresses.
It's funny. I actually got a call from a realtor the other day who was asking me if I was the owner of 129 Walnut Street, where I lived in college.
Oh, wow.
And certainly rented it, by the way. Like, you know, right. I have owned none except for one of these places.
I think that's the thing about renting, though, is that because it's easier to pick up and leave.
Well, I don't know if it's easier, but sooner or later you got to go. You don't own it.
I had bought our first condo at the top of the market in 2005. When we sold it 10 years later, we still sold it at a loss. So I think we were kind of stuck there for a really, really long time because of that.
Yeah, that is painful timing. I've moved 14 times. 14 times so far. Not including 2 more with childhood.
That's a lot of times, too.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. I'm trying to stay in the house that I'm in right now. Not necessarily because it's not my dream house. I mean, there are other houses that I'd like to have more, and there's money that could be made. I'm tired of packing up my stuff.
It's the worst.
Oh, it is the worst.
I've been starting to pack up my house and all that. One, it's sad. And two, it's just so tedious, and the boxes are so heavy. You know what? It's actually a good thing I married my husband. He's pretty strong. I think most people can look at their relationships with others, and they know if it's a good relationship, a positive relationship, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think the harder part sometimes is getting out of those things, right? Sometimes you stay in something that's not good longer than you should, but you usually know if it's good or bad.
But the one person you can't break up with, it's yourself. So what are the 5 signs that you have a toxic relationship with yourself? Let's go through this list because it was eye-opening for me, Raven.
Okay.
You are extremely critical of yourself or others. So if you like make a small mistake at work or you say something embarrassing in a social situation, what's your first reaction?
Well, I mean, I let my mistakes roll off my back, but at the same time, internally in my mind, oh, I beat myself up. And I never forget big mistakes. I never, ever forget those.
Yeah, if you cannot forgive yourself for imperfections or mistakes, that means that you have a toxic relationship with yourself.
Sometimes I have flashbacks of something that's from 15 years ago, if I'm honest.
I have a 1-week rule, and it's kind of served me well, is that when something, I make a big mistake or I'm really embarrassed about something that happened, I will let myself cry and be upset for 1 week. And then after 1 week, I got to let it go and I got to move on with my life. And it's really served me well. Yeah. All right. Number 2, you justify unhealthy habits. For example,
eating bad, smoking, drinking to excess. I would think that all of those fall in that category.
And then you say things like, well, I worked really hard this week, so it's okay that I eat this cheeseburger. Or I've been really stressed out. And you know what? I'm going to take a nap. I don't need to exercise. I deserve it.
Oh, my gosh.
Doing things like that. Unhealthy relationship with yourself.
You're right. This is eye-opening so far.
Next one. You sacrifice too much of yourself. This is the I can't say no kind of thing where people are asking you to do things all the time and you'll skip things that you want to do because you've already told that person you're going to help them move or you're going to help them do something else and you're sacrificing your own happiness for somebody else's.
It's amazing to me when I look at people that live kind of guilt-free and how they do it. And when you hear them talk or whatever, you go, wow, that's really bold of them, but you can't do it, right? It's crazy. Wow. All right.
How do you know you have a terrible toxic relationship with yourself? Here's number four. You have low self-esteem. You talk down to yourself. Like in your head, you're like, I'm so dumb. Why did I do that? Oh, I'm so stupid. That kind of thing. Or you have like very low self-confidence. That is a clear sign of a toxic self-relationship.
I mean, I've told myself that a few times, but for the most part, that's not me. I have you for that.
Yep. And the last one, you look for external validation. So getting compliments from strangers or hearing encouraging words from ones that you love is how you feel appreciated when really you should just be telling yourself that you did a good job.
It is true. I don't like compliments, but I do love somebody expressing gratitude.
So what do you do if you have a toxic relationship with yourself? Well, according to this article, you're going to need to take some healing time and practice things like positive self-talk. So let's try it. I'm a good person.
I'm a good person.
I'm smart.
I'm definitely smart. I feel like I'm relatively attractive.
No, something stronger.
I am relatively attractive.
I'm so hot. That felt like too much. Maybe I should roll it back a little. What do you think your neighbors know you as? Was talking to a neighbor, one that I know well, and she said to me, oh, I was talking to somebody down the street, and they referred to you as girl from the radio. And I was like, oh, girl from the, that's what our neighbors call us that don't know us well? Oh, she's the girl from the radio?
Well, I mean, it's that thing that other people would know about you, right? It's kind of surface information. It's just a trigger of recognition from somebody else. So I guess that makes sense. I mean, there are worse things that you could be called.
I mean, I guess. I feel like when you're dealing with neighbors, you kind of classify everybody in different, we'll call them buckets, right? Like I know the one neighbor that's always up in everybody's business, you know, the one neighbor that I love, that they're super cool and chill and laid back, and I wish they could be my neighbors forever. Mm-hmm. Then there's the neighbors that are constantly complaining about everything, and you wish they would just go away and move.
But if you were meeting a stranger, you would have to describe these people in like one sentence, right? So we're talking like, you know, 5-6 words or whatever. You have to describe these people.
What do you think your neighbors know you as, Raven?
I mean, if it ain't terrible lawn guy, it'd probably be guy that I never see out front. So I've got, you know, it used to be in my neighborhood, all the backyards were wide open. Nobody had a fence. And as soon as we moved in, one of the first things we did was we put in a fence. And it changed the whole dynamic of people used to actually freely walk amongst their backyards. And we changed that. We kind of became the Great Wall in between. So, you know, once I got a fence, honestly, I thought I was going to be a lot more public in my neighborhood. I'm out back. I'm private. You never see me unless I'm out there, you know, on my riding lawnmower. And, you know, obviously that's just for a minute. You don't see me out front. So I'm the guy that's never out front.
You're the guy that doesn't want to be friends with the neighbors is really what you are.
I'm friendly when you see me, but I'm the guy that's never out front. I got names for my other neighbors. My neighbor, Greg, he's a guy with loud grandkids.
Oh,
great neighbors. Absolutely fantastic. Happiest people around. They never give us any trouble. We never give them any trouble. But man, they got some loud grandkids. They be out there screaming. You never be so thankful that you got good windows. Last week, they were out there destroying the tree in the front yard. They were climbing all over this tree. There's like five of them. They're all out there on this tree. And this tree is like smaller. And grandma is in the door screaming, don't do that to the tree, over and over again. And everybody is just louder and screaming and screaming.
Oh, I feel like I might fit the bill for that. The really loud screaming mom. Mm. Dakota, my toddler, you know, she's a handful. Our driveway is relatively short. And every time she gets out of the car, she runs for the street. Because she knows I'm going to scream and be like, ah!
Right.
You know, but she's a crazy person.
Right.
And she wants that reaction from me. So, like, if I don't grab her wrist as soon as I take her out of her car seat, she beelines for the road.
Wow.
And I just scream. And I can imagine, like, how loud I am. Like, they must all hear me and be like, this woman is insane. And they should probably, you know, put some kind of harness on their child to prevent her from running into the street every single day.
I mean, this is fun. I could do this with all my neighbors. I can go up and down the street if I need to.
What do you think your neighbors know you as? 1-800-330-9999. Do you ever wonder, what do your neighbors know you as? Like the neighbors that you don't know well. I had a neighbor mention to me, like, yeah, they call you the girl from the radio. And I'm like, that's what my neighbors know me as, the girl from the radio.
Yeah, yeah. Mine could be guy with ugly van in his driveway.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
1-800-330-9999. Brooke, what do your neighbors know you as?
I am blue sweatshirt girl. I always wear, like, to go get the mail, to walk the dog, to take out recycling, blue sweatshirt. And I think they probably think I don't really own anything else. It's just what I throw on instead of a jacket to go out in the mornings. And I don't know. I'm getting kind of self-conscious. I need to change it up.
It's your at-home uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most people have one, right? You get home, you immediately change into that. Anything else you're doing, it's happening in that. I mean, there might be somebody on my street that knows me as gray sweatpants guy.
I was about to say, I'm Gap black sweatpants girl with that weird gray zip up. I go home and I like immediately take off my clothes and put on my at-home uniform.
Can't wait to get in it, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I open the door for like when the FedEx delivery and the Amazon deliveries come and I'll be like, these people have seen me every day this week in this exact same outfit. Just like you.
Hey, Lewis, what do your neighbors know you as?
Captain Trash Panties.
Wait a minute, what?
For real?
Yeah. I full disclosure, I really don't like to wear pants or, you know, clothes at all. And so whenever I go out to take out the garbage and bring out the garbage cans, I just go in my underwear. That's it. And I don't care who has anything to say about it. So
they don't call you that. They call you the weirdo that lives in that house or the creep.
Right.
That's they're not calling you Captain Trash Panties.
I mean,
promise you.
Man. You know, listen, I will run out to the trash without shoes, you know, in socks or whatever. I'll run out to the driveway and that from time to time.
Paul tries to go outside without his shirt on, and I lose my mind when he's doing, like, lawn work and it's hot and stuff like that. I'm like, you have to put something on you. You can't be half-naked guy on the ladder. No.
Imagine if he was just out there in his boxers.
No. Like, absolutely not. No.
Brittany, what do your neighbors know you as?
Oh, so unfortunately, my neighbors know me as the door slammer. I don't know what it is. Every time I leave my apartment, every time I leave to, you know, do anything, I always slam the door. It's like by habit for some reason. And I've had them complain about it multiple times. But like, I don't know, every time I just forget that I'm slamming the door.
I lived in a building with metal doors myself, and every time a door would close, it sounded like somebody was getting hurt.
It's a loud noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah, you got to get... I don't know what you got to get.
Yeah. A new technique?
Right. You got to get like those slow closing cabinet doors like you get in your kitchen, you know?
You tell yourself you're going to do it gentle, but then you walk out and you're always in a hurry
and you just forget.
And then it slams behind you and you're like, oh, I'm that person again.
I read that Uber drivers give you a low rating if you slam the car door. I am so ginger when I close car doors now because it's like bothered me so much. And I actually think it says a lot about a person by how hard they slam a car door.
But here's what I don't want to hear. You've closed the door, but you closed it so gentle, it's still actually open. And now you push your body against the door to close it. Cause I'm like, oh, you just scratched my car.
The hip check.
Right.
Yeah, no, I've had to do a few hip checks.
Oh, no, you're definitely getting a lower rating for that.
It might be worse.
100%.
1-800-330-9999. What do you think your neighbors know you as? With fast and powerful nationwide 5G on all plans, it's no wonder people who come to Cricket stay with Cricket. There's some neighbors that you don't really know anything about them, but you know everything about them because you live down the street from them.
I've got that one couple down the street. They're drive down the street real fast, never come outdoors, and your lawn looks terrible.
That's how you know them as?
Yeah, it's a full, you know, couple sentences. It's a run-on, but everybody would know who I was talking about.
What do you think your neighbors know you as? Moment of self-reflection here. 1-800-330-9999. Austin.
They know me as the brilliant cook because my apartment is at the end of the hallway, and I'll be cooking, and it makes the whole hallway smell amazing. They even said, like, whoa, like, you got to invite us over sometime. So I actually did invite them over for a Super Bowl party one time, made my layered nachos. They loved it. My neighbors just know me as the guy who cooks amazing food.
So now here's the thing, and I wonder, do they actually know you as that because it does make everything smell good? Or is it like, oh, it's the guy that's always cooking that this place stinks because of it. The hallway smells because of it.
I mean, I don't know what they were cooking in the old buildings that I lived in, but it was not pleasant.
I remember when I was a realtor, there were some apartment buildings that I would walk into and I'd be like, this is unsellable because it would smell so bad. Like some of the foods coming out of the apartments.
Right.
Yeah.
What do you do with that?
don't know.
Once you tell them that, how would that client feel?
I mean, you just have to adjust it in price. Everything has a price, and that just knocked $50,000 off of it. That's
ouch.
For sure. Yeah. So, Austin, let's hope you're right. Let's hope you're making something delicious. Just make cookies.
You're
cookies
upping
all
values.
The time. Katrina, what do your neighbors know you as?
They know me as the singing lady. I'm like constantly singing at the top of my lungs, and sometimes I don't even realize I'm doing it. To the point where, like, my downstairs neighbors are sometimes banging with a broom handle to shut me up. It's just what I do.
It's getting down.
Mm-hmm.
Where I grew up, it was like condo city, but, you know, everybody, and they were like three stories tall. And the kids, for whatever reason, the kids' rooms were always on the top floor. But they had big windows, all of them. And people would have their windows open and their radios on. And sometimes they knew that people were paying attention and sometimes they didn't. But you would hear those people all the time.
Yep, I'm one of those.
Better than screaming.
It's true. I would always take a singer over a screamer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Curtis, what do your neighbors know you as?
My neighbors, we just moved into a neighborhood last year. And I think my neighbors know me as the guy who makes his kids do all the yard work. Because... My kids are like 5 and 3, and they like to do that. They come and volunteer. I want to rake leaves with you, Dad. I want to mow the lawn with you. I want to shovel snow. They want to do it and help me. But none of the other families in the neighborhood, their kids don't do anything. So like they're just out playing, and my kids are like raking leaves and stuff. And everybody I think thinks that I'm like forcing them to do this, but I'm not. They enjoy doing it. They like helping. So
I don't think that's a bad thing to be known as. I think that's great.
No, I think you're crushing.
I know.
Yeah. Right, let me know when that kid's old enough to drive a riding lawnmower. All right, you can come over to my place. All right, we'll put him to work.
That's right.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Henry and Daniela. Henry, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
Well, I've got this great opportunity. My wife and I both work in finance, and I just got a job opportunity that pays really, really well. But it's not close. It's on the other side of the country, and I'm hoping that I can get an apartment in that town and then fly back and forth on the weekends.
Oh boy, that could be tricky.
How long you guys been married?
3 years.
And do you have any children?
No.
Daniela, you're not on board with your husband living across the country?
No, I'm really not. When he told me that he had a job offer, I thought he was joking. You know, we don't have kids yet, but I don't understand how he thinks we're going to be able to make a relationship work with a 3-hour flight between us.
Could be a recipe for a disaster, right? New marriage, younger couple, all that time apart and distance.
Well, Henry, is there any option that you can be remote, like sometimes, or, you know, a majority? And Daniela, you don't want to move with him and try to find a job closer to him?
No, I really like my job. I have a great job. And I don't know what kind of opportunities there are out there, but I know, like, I like the people I work with here. I don't see why I should have to move and switch jobs.
And I agree. And I'm not suggesting that you move. I love that you have such a good situation with your job. And all I'm saying is we could bank some money here. I mean, there's a chance if we just did this for 10 years or something like that, I could retire. We could travel. We could have time for kids. I mean, it's a life changer.
10 years is a very long time. And of course, problems will arise during that time that will push that clock around. But I mean, when you're looking at it overall, it could be an investment on your life. Wow.
So you could commute on weekends. Would you be able to work remotely sometimes where you wouldn't have to be in the office? You could take a 3 or 4 day weekend?
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, if it is a mostly in-person kind of thing. But yeah, there's some flexibility.
All right, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Daniela, that that's not really a way to have a marriage. You've been married 3 years, and, you know, Henry, your job now is secure, and it's good, the one that you currently have?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's fine, but it's not paying you enough to retire in 10 years.
All right, let's see what the audience has to say. Would you live apart from your husband and have him commute home on the weekends by plane?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
You know, it's a tough situation to be put in. Henry and Daniela have been dating for 3 years. And the problem is that Henry got a great job offer, which doesn't sound like a problem, except it's in a different state. So he's got a really good plan, since Daniela also has a great job. He'll just commute. he'll commute on weekends. He'll have an apartment there. They have their home where they live now, and he'll just come back on weekends. But Daniela, not on board.
Listen, it's not a great scenario. You've got a young relationship. You're 3 years into your marriage. But the amount of money that we're talking about here, the difference in salary, is something that he says sets them up for the future, that he could stop working, actually, in 10 years if he was to take this job. I mean, I don't know. Daniela, should you entertain that for even a moment?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I am on the wife's side. I am actually going through the exact same thing, and I can let them know right now that that is going to take a toll on their marriage and on future children. So definitely a no for me.
I don't believe that absence makes the heart grow fonder. I don't believe that. I think that it's out of sight, out of mind, you know?
Well, absence is okay for a day or two, right? Or a three, or a weekend, or maybe even a week. But when it's week in, week out, and it's most of the time, that's something different.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Henry and Daniela both have really good jobs, and they've been married 3 years. Now, here's the issue. And, I mean, it's a good issue to have. Henry's been offered a fantastic job, but it's across the country. So he says he would get an apartment there. His wife would stay home in their family home. They don't have any children yet. And he would just commute, come home on the weekends. There are a lot of weeks where he'll be able to take the Friday and the Monday, work remotely, come for long weekends. Daniela, not on board.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that there would be more understanding given the fact that they're both career-driven. Take into account that she's not willing to move. She's not willing to entertain job offers over there. And he says this is life-changing money, the kind of money that if I was to work this job for the next decade, we could retire and do whatever we wanted to.
Now, what would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
Hey, I'm a Henry side. Well, I mean, a man's job is to provide. I mean, a little sacrifice doesn't hurt. I mean, if he has a great job on the other side, I mean, I don't see why not, you know? They're making a bigger future for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, the part that kind of bothers me is she doesn't seem open to any of it, right? Like, she's not really willing to talk about it. And if the shoe was on the other foot, the opportunity was for her. I mean, resentment in one's career is a real thing. You got to be careful of that type of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when there's no kids involved. I mean, I don't see why not.
Yeah, but how about their marriage? That, to me, that seems so scary that your husband's not going to live with you after being married for 3 years. That's a huge leap.
Right. So why wouldn't she get on the plane and go with him?
Because
why wouldn't she even entertain the aspect? Right. She loves her job, but he obviously is not fully satisfied with his.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I just went through something with the relationship of a husband working at night and for years, and it really is bad for the relationship. I can't imagine living across the country. They will be living separate lives other than the times they get together. And for the husband to even want to do this separate life thing, he would be away more than he would ever be with her, with weekends visiting her. And it is a recipe for disaster. I'm sorry.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Daniela, our audience agreed with you. Henry, early on in a marriage, to say that you're going to go off and live in a different part of the country is a lot. And Daniela's concerns are valid. And even though this is a great opportunity, maybe it's time to look for a different opportunity closer to home.
Yeah, I think that's fair because we don't know what the future holds. And what we've got currently is pretty darn good. So I'm happy for that, and you never know what can come up later that's closer.
I hope it works out like that, guys. I mean, I've been in a relationship before where somebody chose a job over location, and I've also been the person that talks somebody out of taking a job somewhere else. And that resentment, it can be real, and it can be lasting. Daniela, I hope you never get a job opportunity that's out of state that Henry doesn't want to deal with. I mean, right now, you've got to be relieved, though.
Yeah, I am really glad that people seem to be agreeing with me about this. It's a big deal. It's our marriage. You know, we've made a lifetime commitment here. I feel like we have to do what we can to try to make it work.
Most streets go two ways. You know that, right?
If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
It's tied for 5 week on Can't Beat Raven. All week, it's contestants that tied Raven with 5 correct answers in the past, so they didn't win the cash jackpot. This is their chance at redemption. And the Can't Beat Raven jackpot for today is $2,600, thanks to Cricket. Switch to Cricket for fast and powerful nationwide 5G on all plans. Smile, you're on Cricket. Cheryl, you ready to do this?
I'm so nervous, but yes, I'm ready. I've got my support system here.
All right, good. Remember, you can ask them for help. I'm down with that, okay?
All right, they're here with me.
All right, good. So $2,600 on the line. This is your shot at redemption. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, you got it. Good luck, Cheryl.
All right.
Thanks.
So same rules like last time. He's walking out of here. That door's going to close. He can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties still go to Raven. You ready to do this?
I'm ready.
Okay, number one. American Girl released their newest dolls from their historical collection, and they're from the 90s. They look like they're out of a 90s movie. The one that starred Alicia Silverstone as Cher. What movie was that?
Clueless.
Number two, the It prequel called Welcome to Derry is coming to HBO Max. Who wrote the novel It?
Stephen King.
Number three, Wendy Williams caused a scene while filming a mystery project at a restaurant in New York City. She famously fainted and collapsed during a 2018 Halloween episode of her show because her costume was too tight. What costume was she wearing?
A cat suit.
Number four, Khloe Kardashian's ex-household assistant is suing for unpaid wages, claiming that he was wrongfully fired after an injury. She is fighting back. What's the name of her clothing line?
American Denim, American
All right.
Jeans, something.
Number five, so close. Speaking of the Kardashians, Kendall walked the runway for Prada during Milan's Fashion Week. How many kids does she have?
Kendall has 2.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. I don't even know where he went. He left. Come on.
Yeah. Kendall, the one that has none.
Shh. Cheryl. All right, Raven, Cheryl got 2 out of 5.
All righty. Not great. Let's see how I do.
Number one, American Girl released their newest dolls from their historical collection, and they're from the 90s. They look like they're out of a 90s movie, specifically one that starred Alicia Silverstone as Cher. What movie was that?
That's got to be Clueless.
Yes. Number two, the It prequel called Welcome to Derry is coming to HBO Max. Who wrote the novel It?
The greatest writer of our time, Stephen King.
That's right. You guys are tied.
And it's the only writer he knows.
It's That's the only right. writer he knows.
Boom.
Only one. Number three, Wendy Williams caused a scene while filming a mystery project at a restaurant in New York City. She famously fainted and collapsed during a 2018 Halloween episode of her show because her costume was too tight. What costume was she wearing?
You know what? I mean, she's done this costume show a bunch of times. I've seen her in a bunch of different costumes. I'm just going to say, was it the Statue of Liberty?
Yes.
Yes.
Number four, Khloe Kardashian's ex-household assistant suing for unpaid wages. She's fighting back, saying it's not true. What's the name of her clothing line?
Khloe's line?
Yeah.
Isn't it, oh God, I'm going to get this wrong. It's one or the other, but I'm just going to say Good American.
Good American
yes.
is right.
All right.
Speaking of the Kardashians, Kendall walked the runway for Prada during Milan's Fashion Week. How many kids does she have?
Kendall? Gosh, does she have 2?
No, Kendall's the only one that has no children.
No children.
That's the only one.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Cheryl. He beat you 4-2 today. Would you like another Anna and Raven t-shirt?
Oh, yeah. Enjoy it.
To go with the other 2 I have? No. I'm good. It's Cheryl that can't beat Raven.
So defeated. Better luck next time. Tomorrow, $2,700.
We'll have another contestant tied for 5 weeks. But remember, next week, back to normal. So you can sign up to play now at annaandraven.com. It's a good question. Where do you meet the good guys or good girls, right? 1-800-330-9999. I got this email. Her name is Constance. And she said, I recently moved to the area and I hope this doesn't sound weird. She says, I always love finding a great emotionally unavailable man with lots of red flags.
Oh, well, there's lots of places you can find those.
What I would like to do is find a good guy. Where can I find a good guy? Oh, girl, everybody's been wondering that, right? Mm-hmm.
And all your older relatives will have some sort of suggestion, but it's not necessarily actually effective, right?
Yeah. Raven, where did you find your wife, Alicia? Where'd you find her?
Well, yes, they were growing them. No, well, you know, I mean, we met in a terrible location, in a terrible spot. We were both dating somebody at the time. Both of us not in great relationships, and I was DJing at the bar.
Mm.
But we knew people, the same types of people and the same groups of friends we had just never met. So, you know, having known all those people all our lives and so forth, you know, we were kind of looking at each other from afar for a while, finding out about each other before she came up to me and she said, I need a song that you'll play for me that says, I'm here with my boyfriend, but I wish I was hanging out with you.
Oh, All right. Well, that's one way to get somebody. Okay.
The answer is ludicrous, by the way.
Ludicrous. I met Paul, my husband, in college. So, I mean, obviously you can't go back to college.
Right.
It's hard, though. Where do you find the good guys, the good girls? 1-800-330-9999. Hannah, where'd you find yours?
So I had recently moved into a new apartment, and it had a balcony that was, like, overlooking the, like, main road where I lived. And one afternoon, I was, like, sitting on my balcony, you know, drinking coffee, and I saw, you know, a really nice-looking guy walking past, and I went up to the balcony, and I yelled, hello, hello, and he looked up, and we started talking, and we went out on a date that night, and the rest was kind of history.
That's so nice. Just balconies. You just got to sit on your balcony all the time and drink your coffee.
Well, I hope your fire escape was, you know, safe, right? Because I immediately get visions of Romeo and Juliet, Pretty Woman, that kind of thing. But that is nice and romantic.
Yeah. You just got to sit outside and just wait for somebody to literally cross your path.
It's the new dating app.
I love it.
Vinny, where'd you meet the good one?
I met my good girl at work. I work at an amusement park. And we met in the break room. We work in completely different departments, too. So it's like we don't really work together, but we were in the break room together that one day, kind of across from each other. And we started some light banter, you know how it goes, like a meet cute in the break room. And yeah, we've been dating for 3 years.
I worked at an amusement park myself many, many years ago. And I met a girl that I nearly married in that orientation.
Really?
Yeah, because it's funny because the training at amusement parks, I mean, I don't know about where you worked, but the one where I worked at Magic Mountain. I mean, it was very intense. It's like a Disney thing or whatever, right? Like, it's like 4 to 6 weeks. And so there's a certain type of person who's going through all that and a certain type of person that kind of keeps that job. And they're nice people. That's the only way that I would put it. Yeah, nearly married that girl.
Wow. So you said, all right, so if you're looking for a good guy or a good girl, you have to get a job at an amusement park.
That's it.
That's it. 1-800-330-9999. Where did you find your quote-unquote good person? Where did you find your significant other, your quote-unquote good guy or your good girl? We got an email asking, hey, Anna, where are all the good guys? And I was like, I don't know.
Right. No idea whatsoever.
Maybe you do. 1-800-330-9999. Christian.
Actually, it's a cool story. I met her. I was taking a Pilates class, and I was the only dude in the Pilates class, of course. And so there was like a 4 or 5 gals who are always giving me the full court press. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know what to do about this. And then the most beautiful woman in the world walked in one day, and she's been my wife for 6 years.
Pilates class.
Yeah. Didn't think about that. A yoga or Pilates class, something like that. It's good, right? Mostly, you know, attendance of the opposite sex, if that's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And you appear to be the vulnerable, available, you know, open-minded guy. And you're also flexible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I had an accident, so I was trying to get some strength back, and that's how I ended up in that class.
And
it worked out in my favor, that's for sure.
Genius.
Right,
yeah.
Florence Nightingale type thing, too. Now they want to nurse you back to health. I mean, you had it all going on there, bro.
Yeah, I know it. Misty, where'd you meet your good guy or your good girl?
So I used to be a cocktail waitress at this comedy club. Very bad cocktail waitress. Like, I was constantly dropping things and just crying all the time and being made fun of by the comedians. So my husband-to-be at the time was the bartender, and he would just, like, save me constantly. He'd really quick remake my drinks, run them out for me, like, above and beyond. Saved me.
Would have been good if he was one of, like, the star comedians that came through, too, though.
I was waiting for her to be like, now I'm married to Adam Sandler.
Right.
And it didn't, happen.
I was like, oh, that's still nice.
Right. I'll never serve a drink again in my life.
Right. Are you sure it wasn't Will Ferrell? Like, nobody else came through? You could, you know, okay.
I know.
Yeah. I'm sure he's
lovely.
They
were cool people, but the bartender was not a comedian, unfortunately.
Yeah. Melanie, where did you meet your good guy?
Red Lobster. Not in the way you think, though. We were both I was server. He was a dishwasher.
Oh, that's nice.
It was college. And I don't know. Like, it was, I liked meeting him in real life. I liked, I got to know him, and we got to see each other, and we got to, like, know each other slowly.
And I don't know. I never did well with like just meeting someone on a first date. We've been together. We both have new jobs now, and I guess we have that shared trauma. So it's trauma bonding from working weekends at Red Lobster.
I feel like a lot of people date in the restaurant business. Like I could think of several coming from a restaurant family. My family owns restaurants. A lot of couples that came out of the restaurants.
Well, I could think a lot of couples that hooked up. But not a lot of them came out. I mean, I was a server for many years, and it was like a wake of destruction with a lot of people. But, you know, you cheer for people when they got together and it worked out.
There was a lot of whispering. I remember in college, I worked for California Pizza Kitchen.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of, like, dating amongst the staff, and then there was a lot of whispering of who was seeing who. And then all of a sudden, somebody didn't work there anymore.
Right.
And you knew why they didn't work there anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, I worked at Red Lobster for years. Yeah, so... I remember.
Oh, wow.
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
The only thing I loved from Red Lobster are those cheddar delicious biscuits.
Oh, they were the best.
Oh, gosh. I bought the box of them to make them at home.
It's not the same.
Not the same.
No.
Uh-uh.